Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers who work in many fields and teach us the art of living, how to work in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace, and use the technological advances available to us. Approximately every 2,500 years, a new teacher brings a body of teaching to humanity that is suited to our needs at that particular time. Usually this takes place at the end of an age. Right now, as the age of Pisces declines and our solar system aligns with the constellation Aquarius, new energies are beginning to make themselves felt. As these Aquarian energies of sharing and justice stream into our planet, the need for change can be seen more clearly. A period of chaos ensues as the old order lessens its grip on humanity, and the impulse of sharing, justice and peace inspires us to move forward in evolution as a united group.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our program. We would like to start this program with a series of questions and answers. Throughout Benjamin Krem's life, his public life at least, he was asked many thousands of questions, most of which were published in the magazine Share International. So the ones we're going to read out to you are from the November 2016 issue. And here's the first question. What will be the role of money in the future?
Money will be withdrawn for a time until it loses its lure and its hold on people.
Are the oil-producing countries part of the old capitalist system, or do they use their oil for good purposes?
It depends on who they are. Saudi Arabia is run by a family for the good of that family. They make billions of profit a year. There are a few countries in the world which use their oil for the good of the country, of its people. Chavez, the late president of Venezuela, used the oil more or less for the poorest people in the country.
Is CERN, capital C-E-R-N, dangerous?
Well, it's dangerous in that it cost billions to build, and it's slow. It took 20 years to construct. The scientists involved will learn things and are learning things that any esoteric could tell them at no cost.
Where do you get your information? How do you know this? Did it come to you in dreams?
I was told by one of the masters. No, I don't dream. I'm not a dreamer, I think. I have a master who is never further than my ear away from me. I can talk to him, and I usually ask him a few questions every day. I try not to, because a disciple is not expected to improve if he is always asking questions. But I'm always being asked questions by others, so I have to ask my master. He understands that and is very kind. He very seldom refuses to answer, only when it is something that I should already know. Here's another question. You mentioned that we all have masters. Who is mine?
When the pupil is ready, the master appears.
Another question. This is the end of the Piscean time, and all the glamours of the Piscean age can be seen. Are we not entering this new age with a new spirit? That is the way it's going to progress, and all we need to do is to open to it and we'll move forward.
Yes, but it is not as simple as that. Only about half the population are what we would call Aquarian, and the other half, the older one, the more experienced half, the half that has all the money, all the know-how, all the positions of authority, that have done what they like throughout their existence and are still doing it, are of the Piscean type. So the world is divided. We are only 9 years into the actual age of Aquarius. The energies of Pisces began to be withdrawn in 1625. The energies of Aquarius began to come in 1675, and now they are about equal. But the young make up the bulk of the incoming Aquarian people, and the Piscean people make up the rest, which are all the governments of the world, all those who like the ways of the past, who have most of the money in the world. I do not know the exact figures, but the top 2% own most of the income of the world. It is something phenomenal, appalling, and terribly unhealthy for humanity. They are still Piscean, enjoying the ways and structures of Pisces, the individuality which has gone to the heads of people of power in the world. What was one of the great gifts to the world in Pisces has become one of the greatest dangers of humanity, in the overreaching quality of that Piscean energy and the intolerance, injustice and lack of sharing which stems from that. And one more question. Can spaceships, UFOs, be shot down by human weapons?
Well, no, spaceships cannot be shot down by human weapons because each spaceship has around it a magnetic force which is impenetrable and which protects it from or by deflecting any missiles aimed at it. They are literally invulnerable. But at several times, spacemen have sacrificed themselves in a simulated crash of their vehicles on Earth. This is a measure of the extraordinary love behind their work on our behalf. It is a truly spiritual mission, even to the point of self-sacrifice in a way which we cannot emulate.
Now for something different, we're going to read out to you an article published in the Western Leader on the 12th of September, and it's an opinion by Sue Allen titled, "Time for Politicians to Listen to Us." I've been wondering for a while what it's going to take for people to stand up and be counted on issues that matter. And this week, I think we're beginning to see what's often referred to as a tipping point. I'm no political columnist, but I am probably your typical watcher and listener of news. And last week was an interesting week.
Over in the UK, things are really hotting up with Brexit. Prime Minister Boris Johnson has bet the house on a two-step strategy. Step one, getting enough political support to exit the EU without a deal on October 31st, which looks unlikely. Step two, if he can't achieve that, then calls the general election to create enough support.
Finally, MPs over there are beginning to act and get some backbone and do something. A raft of Tory MPs have rebelled and been expelled from the party over Johnson's approach to Brexit, with the most damning being the PM's own brother, Joe Johnson, resigning on Friday.
A moment of irony was the headline, "Joe Johnson quits to spend less time with his family." Other politicians across all party lines moved to block Johnson's plan through the creation of a new hurried act of parliament. Rightly or wrongly, at least UK politicians are standing up and being heard, rather than sitting back worrying about their pensions plans and parliamentary perks.
Meanwhile, real people are also taking to the streets to make their voices heard. Protests were held in more than 30 towns and cities across the UK, including a mass demonstration on Parliament in London. My friends have been out waving placards, something that hasn't happened since our student days.
In New Zealand, I was listening to an interview with Victoria University's Vice-Chancellor, Grant Guilford, who along with Lincoln University and now Massey University are supporting students taking part in the mass rally on climate change action being held here on September 27th. The strike coincides with the United Nations Emergency Climate Summit in New York.
To be fair, the universities had no choice in the matter. Their students and staff were going to protest and miss lectures, whatever they said or directed, so better to roll with it. But it was interesting to hear Guilford describe school students as the adults in the room on climate change, while claiming politicians were a long way behind with their naive and bickering behaviour. He said, "These young people are taking civic action as young leaders and taking more responsibility for their own destiny."
Teachers and parents across the country are working out how to deal with the flood of students who want to get out and march. What is great to see is that people like you and me, have reached the end of our tethers and are starting to make some real noise about what we believe in. fake news bullying political leaders. Politicians more interested in playing political games than acting in the best interest of the country and voters.
It seems like people have reached a tipping point where they are finally being galvanised into taking action. And a good old-fashioned protest is a peaceful yet powerful way to make that voice heard. I'm not a radical or an anarchist, but my observation is that people seem to be getting increasingly less accepting of the old ways of doing things and far less trusting in the institutions than they may once have been. We live in exciting times. Oh, so anyway, on to our next piece, a few excerpts taken from different sources in a compilation titled The People Awaken. This was published in the July-August 2017 issue of Share International Magazine. And Peter, you would like to do the first quote.
My plan is being fulfilled. My love kindles a new aspect in man, and the new light dawns. My promise is this, soon for yourself you will see a changing world, a world which alters before your eyes. The old gives way to the new, and man stands on the thresholds of truth. That was from Maitreya's message number 117.
This next quote is from Benjamin Krim's master from an article titled Co-workers with God. The present is a time of crisis and promise. The new struggles to find form. The old strives to survive amidst the destined change. Humanity is ready for the next step. The long sleep is ending. The sleepers awake. The call to freedom and joy echoes in the hearts of the peoples and stirs them to action. Little time there is now to prepare. Soon the face of Maitreya will be seen. He alone can bridge the divisions among the nations and bring them trusting to each other's aid.
Another one here. There is no doubt of the new spiritual awakening which is everywhere taking place, which must eventually lead to an era of world brotherhood, the keynote of the coming age of Aquarius. What is happening now is the outcome of inner forces which are effecting great change in human thinking and consciousness. This will result in the complete reorganization of the world's institutions and social structures which no longer answer man's true needs. And that was from Benjamin Krem's book, The Reappearance of the Christ and the Masters of Wisdom. We'll carry on. Take heart, therefore, from all of this and know that new and better times are on the way. Take heart and know that naught can stop the momentum of change that now grips this world. Formerly, people awaited events in passive acceptance of fate. Today, a new consciousness informs the minds and hearts of men and awakens them to their inborn need for justice and freedom. They will not be denied. And that was from Benjamin Krem's master. They will not be denied. My friends, were you to see, as I do, the changes now occurring, your hearts would gladly leap, as does mine. For throughout the world today, man is awakening to change, bringing to the fore the new thoughts and ideas which now grip men's hearts. That was Maitreya's message number 129.
And another quote, this is from Benjamin Krem from his book Maitreya's Mission, Volume 3. We are about to enter an era in which the innate spiritual nature of humanity will begin to express itself in a mass form. Countless millions throughout the world will awaken to the true purpose of their lives. A deeper, more soundly based attitude to life will develop, and people will recognize themselves as souls in incarnation. They will come to understand the purpose of their incarnation, and more, they will take a conscious part in their own evolution, creating modes of freedom and justice which this world has never before seen. Freedom and justice, and therefore peace, will allow the divine spiritual aspect of humanity to come to the fore and be given expression, not only as a religious experience, but in every department of life. And here's a quote from Maitreya. This is message 137. Many there are now who see the way forward, hold before men the light of truth, teaching men to share and love, to cherish and trust. Many now are awake to these divine aspects and call for the restructuring of your world. My force is behind them. My love inspires them. My will guides them. In this way, I lead you into the new.
And Benjamin Krems writes another book called The Gathering of the Forces of Light. And I quote from there, Earth is about at the halfway point in the middle of the fourth round. At that point, a planet begins to find its course, its destiny. Its people begin to wake up. This is happening in the world today. Humanity is waking up from a long sleep in which it lost contact with reality, with the purpose and meaning of life on Earth. It became deeply embedded in the profound materialism in which it is still involved to this day. Maitreya has come to awaken humanity. And finally, the U.S. and the USSR are no longer superpowers. Humanity is the superpower. The will of the nation and country will be based on the will of the people. The people will make sure politicians do not make mischief.
To finish the program, we'd like to read to you an excerpt from an article by a South African author called Art Jurians, who's written a number of books based on the teachings of Alice A. Bailey. And this article is called The Physical Body. It was published in Share International magazine way back in September 1984. The physical form, whether that of a mineral, an animal, a plant, a man, or a planet, consists of millions of atoms or cells, each embodying a lesser life, each in a condition of constant activity, and each preserving its individuality or identity, yet at the same time being held together in group formation by central, attractive, and coordinating force, by life. This life forms part of a greater manifested life, the life of our planetary deity or logos, in whom we live and move and have our being. A clear distinction should be drawn, however, between man as a physical form and what is termed a comprehensive human being. The difference lies in the duality of the latter concept. A human being is regarded as a physical personality under spiritual guidance, with the soul serving as the link between spirit and matter. Although the physical body serving as such has its own life, this merely represents atomic life, totally lacking consciousness, and without the direction of the soul, it would remain nothing more than a senseless automaton.
The physical body is not considered a principle but solely a form responding automatically to the gradually unfolding consciousness. It is therefore only a medium subjected to impulses but without any innate intelligence of its own. It is a recipient body without the ability of initiating any spontaneous form or activity. The body of the normal physical man remains largely the victim of a capricious astral body by which the personality is still being guided until at a more advanced stage of development it becomes the instrument for the triumphant expression of soul energy. It can therefore be regarded as an agent reacting to the influence and directions of the vital or etheric body, the astral or emotional vehicle, the lower mind situated in the mental body, the soul, the immediate spiritual guide.
One of the problems of the student is to determine the source of incentives, impulses, impressions or inspirations which, with the vital body acting as the link, coordinator or transformer, sweep the physical body into activity. Students are sometimes puzzled by the question of the heritability of certain characteristics of parents. The physical body results from the union of two cells, originating one each from the male and female parents. But remember, this only refers to their physical, emotional and mental traits. Their real character, or what might be termed their spiritual qualities, are produced by inner spiritual influences or soul contact. As the immortal soul is only a temporary occupant of the body, vacating it again at the termination of the lifespan, and at no stage forming an intrinsic part of the physical body, the properties of the soul cannot be transferred by physical cells to the progeny. Fortunately, that's all that we have time for.
Yes, well, thank you for listening.